thank you to my sponsors of this podcast, Little Dish, who make delicious kids' meals and help to make family life and feeding kids less stressful. Hello and welcome back to How to Feed with Charlotte Sterling-Reed, the parenting podcast which offers reassurance, confidence and advice on how to feed your baby, toddler and your whole family. Before we begin this episode, I just want to take the time to give a big thanks to our podcast sponsors, Little Dish. Thank you so much for having me here. We're talking today about the overwhelm of being responsible for feeding everyone in your family, the baby, the toddler, adults, and even yourself, because we mustn't forget about us. Sometimes parents are often unsure about the how and the what, and it can make us feel like we're failing or we're not getting the mammoth task that is feeding our children right. I remember feeding my firstborn, Raffi, and feeling so overwhelmed when we finally reached three meals. It felt like so much work to create three meals every single day, not to mention getting in his milk feeds and playtime, and then, of course, trying to navigate sleep. All of that came before I'd even considered myself and feeding meals to myself. So that is a lot. On top of that, I actually found breastfeeding both children a challenge. And even though I work in the field of nutrition and I know plenty about breastfeeding, I constantly thought I was getting it wrong. Was it something I was eating? Was it something I was doing wrong? Did I have the wrong latch? And it constantly felt like there was just something I was missing. And I found this so, so hard. I then remember again when I had my daughter, Ada. So I had two kids, one little one, and I remember coming down the stairs in the morning with a toddler and a baby and realizing that they were my responsibility all day. And I was also responsible for feeding them all day and feeding myself, as well as all their milk feeds and as well as everything else. It felt so much. And there really is one word for it, and that is overwhelm. So many of us feel this when it comes to feeding babies, toddlers, and our whole family. And I feel that lots of parents I speak to feel it as well. It's often something we don't talk about much. But my two top aims for this episode to get across to you guys as listeners are as follows. Number one, I want you to remember not to compare. Everyone's baby, child, family are very, very different. And we all lead different lifestyles and we all have different genetics, personalities, environments, and cultures. This means that when you're comparing your kids to how well your friends are managing it, we need to reconsider. Stop. It is not a like for like comparison. The second thing I want you to know is it is overwhelming. You are right. It's hard. Lots of parents find the topic of feeding their kids emotional and they think they're failing or they're not getting it right. But you're not. If you're asking for advice, if you're seeking advice, if you're trying your best, I promise you, you are not failing. Speaking of advice, here are some of my tips to manage the overwhelm of mealtimes. Number one. Get them eating similar things to you as soon as possible. If you can get your little ones eating similar foods to the rest of the family, it saves you time, it saves you energy, and it saves you headspace. Making up separate meals every single time for a child and making another meal for a toddler and one for a baby and one for a husband, it all gets too much. So the more you can try and get everybody eating similar foods, similar meals at similar times, it really can be a saver. And I know it sounds easier said than done, but actually if you can start weaning by helping your little one to explore those textures, explore those finger foods, give them plenty of opportunity to watch and see you eating, it can really help with their development and their oral motor skills and their ability to learn how to bite, chew and swallow more hard pieces of food. And also if you explore plenty of variety in the foods that they offer, it means they're more likely to accept that variety as they get a little bit older too. So it's actually a bit easier for them to move on to those family meals. And I promise if you move on to those family meals nice and quickly, it will make your life and your cooking needs much, much easier. Number two, make friends with your freezer. So one of the things I learned massively when I was writing my book, How to Feed Your Family, was about actually making the most of my freezer and also making plenty of meals in bulk. Now, I know this sounds really obvious and I know probably lots of people recommend it, but you probably never really thought, actually, maybe I'll give it a go. But I promise you, it can be an absolute game changer for family meals. The one thing I would do is say, try and spend a little bit of time sorting out your fridge or freezer, making sure you've got plenty of different containers that you can freeze meals in, and then start cooking things in batch. So whenever you're making a meal, for example, my husband made some chili the other day, I said to him, could you double up whatever you put in that, double it, and then we will use it throughout the week. We were able to use it as a chili meal. We were able to use it with some rice. We were able to use it as a bolognese. And then I also used it to make some quesadillas as well. So there's so many different ways you can make some of those meals last a long time. And honestly, it will really, really make a difference to you if you can batch cook those meals and utilize them from your freezer, pop them out into the fridge the night before, and there you go. You've got a winning meal ready that is really easy to access the next day. It really is a big game changer. So do give that a try. Number three, don't set such high expectations for what meals need to be. Now, this one might sound a bit complicated, but I think sometimes we put so much pressure on wanting meals to be perfect, wanting them to go smoothly, wanting every single food on the plate to get eaten. And also, some parents often come to me thinking that their meals have to be balanced every single day. They have to be hot, a hot home-cooked meal every single day. And in all honesty, that isn't reality. In the world we live in, very busy, most of us are working or have multiple different areas of our lives that we have to pay attention to. And it's not always possible for us to make a home-cooked hot meal every single night, and nor should you need to. So you might want to have a think about your own expectations of what a mealtime should look like and see if you can make a few little tweaks to adjust what that might be. So for example, you might want to use breakfast like porridge or cereal as their evening meal. That's okay to do. Sometimes you might want to use beans on toast. That's okay to do. And sometimes you might rely on a little dish meal, which is absolutely brilliant and a really, really great option for them to have, but it just saves you time and adds extra convenience. So sometimes we need to just adjust what we think meals have to look like and just try and make those mealtimes more enjoyable occasions without so much pressure on ourselves. Number four, try and look at what's being eaten over a week, not in a single day. Now, the reason I say this is because as humans, we're evolved to always focus on the negative. And I think it's really important that we try not to just focus on one meal, one single food or meal that's gone badly. And instead, try and take a step back and have a look at what's happened over the entire week. There'll be some meals that have gone really well. There'll be some meals that maybe went okay, and there'll be some meals that haven't gone very well at all. But actually, that's life. There are plenty of ups and downs, and it's really important not to try and focus on all the negative aspects, because actually what kids eat over time is what matters, not over one single meal. So try not to focus all of your concern or your worry or your anxiety over one meal that just didn't go very well, and look at the bigger picture. Number five, try using buffet meals and fridge-raid meals. So this is something I am a huge fan of. I love the idea of buffet meals because it actually allows children to explore food a little bit for themselves. It allows them some independence. It allows them some skills, and it allows them to see other people eating lots of food. And on top of that, it often encourages a wider variety than maybe a meal that is plated up in front of them. Buffet meals can be a really great one to take the pressure off of us. Sometimes I like to simply look in my fridge, see what needs using up, chop it, grate it, maybe boil some things a little bit and pop it all on the table together and allow everybody to just help themselves. It's a bit like a picnic dinner, and it really can add novelty to mealtimes. But like I said, it adds lots of that independence and it adds lots of that autonomy around what children can choose. I think this is such a good way of doing things, and I try at least once or twice a week to have a fridge raid meal where I gather everything, I pop it in front of the table, and I let everybody help themselves to what they want. It really, really can take the pressure off. So definitely give that a go. Number six, try and have a routine around meals and snacks. Now, I talk about this quite a lot, but it really, really can have a difference. It can help when you ask for food a lot. It can help when the kids are asking for snacks. It can help when the kids are coming to you saying, I'm hungry, to be able to say to them, dinner's not ready just yet, but you've got to wait 20 minutes and it will be here. Now, I'm not saying that we have to have food at exactly the same time each day, every day for the rest of our lives. But what I am saying is that having a really clear routine can help children to understand their own appetite. It can help you to have specific boundaries so that you're not ordering and making foods at all times of the day. And it can mean that children are much better at being able to understand their appetite, not grazing in between those meals. So sometimes, and I know this definitely happens in my house, if I've got a nice routine that day, mealtimes often go much more smoothly because the children have a little bit more hunger when I sit them down for those meals. If you've got young kids, it can actually be really helpful to draw out those routines sometimes. If you've got kids who are learning about time, you can draw out clocks so they actually understand when the clock looks like this, that's your snack time. I know from my kids, when my son was at nursery, the nursery staff always used to say that they drew out a timetable available for him, so he knew exactly when mummy was coming back to pick him up. So it would be their snack in the morning, it would be their lunch, it would be a snack in the afternoon, and then mummy was coming to pick me up. So if you can try and center your child's routine and their day around when these mealtimes happen, it can really help with their understanding about when food comes, and also eventually stop them asking for snacks in between. Number 7, try and have a starter of veggies. This is something I've been doing fairly recently, and it actually has a really big impact. When my kids come home from school or nursery, they're often pretty hungry, and I often am not quite ready to have their dinner ready. But what I tend to do is get some frozen veggies, put them in the microwave for a few seconds, get them ready, or just some chopped veggies that I've got out of the fridge that day. Get them ready, pop them in a plate on the table, ready for when your kids come home. And honestly, you'll be so surprised by how much they eat when they are really hungry. It's not going to fill them up, but it's going to give them a good dose of their 5 a day. It's going to give them some nutrients, some fiber in their diet. And also it can take the pressure off the next meal. So if they're not eating veggies that are offered with their meal, it's okay because they've already had them as a starter. I know lots of you have tried this and it's made a really big impact on your family too. So definitely give that one a go. Number 8. This is one of my favorite tips. Cook what you want and let them join in. So often we create meals that are for our kids and that we're not really thinking about ourselves. We're not thinking about what we want to eat. We're thinking about what they want to eat all the time. However, if you're cooking meals that you want, not only will they see you enjoying meals and they'll get to watch and observe you actually sitting there and enjoying your own meal around them, but also they'll be exposed to much more variety in their food as well. Rather than focusing on the 5 or 6 meals that they love, make something for you, offer some sides alongside it so you know there's something there to eat. So for example, if you're doing a curry, you could make yourself a curry with some papadoms, with some rice, with some yogurt on the side. If they don't want all of the veggies, that's fine. If they don't want all of the curry, that's fine. They can just tap into the little bits they do want, but you're exposing them to some variety. You're adding new foods into their diet, but you're also having something that you want and you will enjoy yourself. So definitely give that one a go. So those are my top tips and I hope you found them really helpful. Now I'm going to answer some typical questions that I often get asked.
I've just had my second baby and my first is so fussy with food. I'm just feeling completely overwhelmed and I wondered if you had any advice that you could share with me to help.
A lot of the time, many parents, when they're having their second baby, their first baby is just entering those toddler years. And that can definitely be trickier in terms of them eating because they start to find their own independence. We talked quite a lot about this in the episode about fussy eating. So do make sure you check that out. But it's very, very normal for them to hit a stage where they're more likely to be picky and refuse foods. The first thing I would say is accept that actually this is normal. This is actually a really big part of toddlerhood. So try not to fight against it and think that it's abnormal or it's something you've done, because this is actually very, very normal. You can try and address it quite early on. There's so many things you can do, I promise you. I have tips and tricks for this all over my website. I've shared a lot in the episode I did on fussy eating as well. And I also have a course on fussy eating. So do make sure you check that out because there'll be so many tips on that. Although some things might work right away, sometimes it's also about focusing on the long game. What I would try and do is think, first of all kids are really different. It doesn't necessarily mean that if one child is fussy, that your second child will be. There are so many reasons for fussy eating being something that children go through. It might be to do with genetics. It might be their environment. It might just be their personality. And that is absolutely okay. So don't worry. I had very different experiences with my two children. So if one is fussy, it really doesn't mean the other one will be fussy too. The next thing I would say is try and get your first child involved in food as much as you can. Maybe get them involved in the weaning journey. Talk to them about weaning and why you're doing it and what you're doing, and see if you can get them involved in some way, whether that be exploring food with your baby, whether that be them helping you with prepping meals, or even whether that be exploring food via toys and games and other aspects. It's really important, I think, sometimes to try and encourage your little one not to say words like yucky. I try and explain to my kids that actually yucky is not a very helpful term, because what's yucky to one person isn't yucky to another. So if you're saying it's yucky, it doesn't necessarily mean it is yucky to the person you're saying it to. So I try and avoid them using that kind of language at the table. And like I say, get them involved with food in so many other ways. So cooking with it, reading about it, painting with it. You could even get some broccoli out and make some broccoli shapes with some paint. It's really, really simple to try and get them involved in food and explore food in other ways rather than just eating it. The other thing I would say is try and focus on the behavior you want to continue around the mealtime. So if baby's enjoying their weaning journey and they're loving their food, or even if dad's eating really well, lots of attention to them, talking about things like, oh, you seem like you're really enjoying it. Thank you for being part of this meal with me. I'm really enjoying our time together. Give lots of attention to that kind of a behavior that you want to carry on around the table, and try and avoid talking too much about the food refusal, because actually that can make it worse in the long run.
Hi Charlotte, I'm struggling with feeding my family a balanced diet every day and it's really getting me down. So what do I do?
So I know this can be really hard. It's such a challenge. And certainly when I had two little ones, I actually found it really challenging to try and think of what we can do and how I can make sure that every day both my kids are having a really balanced diet. Now, the one thing to think about is that when your children are weaning, once they've really started to accept those meal times and they're starting to move from one to two to three meals a day, you do want to start thinking about balance. And the way we try and do this is to think about the food groups that we're offering. So you might want to offer carbohydrates, you might want to offer veggies and fruits at most meals. Also, you might want to offer proteins and also dairy or alternatives at mealtimes. So thinking about those four food groups can be really important for helping to add that balance. It doesn't mean they have to eat every single thing on their plate, but when you're preparing a meal, trying to think about the balance you're including on there can really help. So carbohydrates, fruits and veg, some dairy and some protein with most mealtimes. And that's from when they've started to really move on to those mealtimes, except breakfast and lunch and dinner, for example. The other thing to say is try and look at what your little one's eating. I said this already, but over a week rather than within single meals or single days. We so often focus on the meals that did go wrong, the meals that we didn't balance. But actually what we really want to encourage you to do is to look at what's going on over the week, because you're so much more likely to have a balance when you're looking at it over a period of time rather than one specific moment in time. So try and do that a lot. The other thing you can do is ask for help. If you're struggling with feeding balanced, healthy meals to your kids every single day, you're not alone. I know so many parents feel the same. So if somebody is trying to offer you their help, let them. And if one of those things that you need is help with meals, ask for it, find it, get it. See if you can get someone to batch cook for you. Perhaps you could tap into more little dish meals more often. Perhaps you could use fridge raid meals. There are so many things that you can do to try and take that pressure off yourself. Still offering balanced meals to your little ones, but just taking that pressure off of you. Don't forget as well, I mentioned about freezer being your friend earlier. So absolutely tap into that. And again, you can try and get somebody to help you get it organized and start afresh if you really feel you need to. I've already spoken about making meals in bulk, and I think double or tripling recipes and storing them and using them throughout the week is a really, really big one. And I love a one size fits all sauce. So for example, a tomato sauce that you can add kidney beans to and make it into a chili, a tomato sauce you can add beef to and make it into a spaghetti bolognese, or maybe you might add some chunks of chicken and turn it into a jacket potato filling. There's so many different things you can do if you've got a nice base. So try and tap into some of those kind of recipes as well. Also, like I said, try and get them eating similar things to the rest of the family. It can make your life easier if you can do that from an early, early stage.
I'm really so confused about different foods. I keep on reading that foods like bread and cereal are bad for my toddler, and now I just don't know what to do. Any advice?
So I have heard this so many times from parents recently. There's a lot of scaremongering out there about different foods in the press. And I think that often this has a real knock-on effect to parents who are trying to do their best and who are actually quite confused about what to feed their kids already. And then they're reading these really scary articles about foods being really terrible for their little ones. The first thing I would say for anyone who's worried about that is that variety is your friend. I say this all the time, but actually if we are serving our kids a variety of different foods, if we're varying what they have day to day, you don't need to worry so much about the nitty gritty of this one food or that one food. The reason for that is because they're never going to be getting too much of something if they are having plenty of variety in their diet. So try not to worry too much about that. Also, A lot of the press and a lot of the stories out there about specific foods are just that, scaremongering. There's not a lot of evidence to back up these things, and certainly not a lot of scientific evidence. Food is really complicated. And, you know, I like to talk about we don't eat foods in isolation, which means that there are no good foods and bad foods because we don't eat any foods separately on their own. We eat a diet which is full of tons of different foods, and sometimes they might all be added together in one product. Sometimes we might put them together in one meal, and no single ingredient is going to be really bad for you. It's all about our diets overall. So as I said, variety, try not to listen to it because a lot of it isn't really true. And just don't think about foods as being good and bad. Again, think about the bigger picture. Think about what you're putting into your little one's diet, the fresh fruits, the vegetables, some of the meals that you cook from scratch. And don't worry about the odd food that is maybe processed, like processed cereal or like a processed bar that you've given them, because offering those every now and then is absolutely fine to do, and you do not need to be worried about doing it. It's all about context.
Hi, Charlotte. Meal times have become so miserable in the house that I dread them, and I'm sure the kids do too. How can I fix this?
So this is a question that I love to answer because I know so many families who feel in this situation that mealtimes have become really, really awful. Everyone's dreading going into them. The first thing I want you to do is try and step back from the idea of getting them to eat. So as parents, we constantly think like, it's my responsibility to now get you to eat your food. And what I want people to do is actually take the pressure off themselves for that. What we might need to do in this situation, if everyone is dreading those mealtimes, is actually think about the environment that we are feeding our kids in. If you think about the idea of going to a restaurant, if you went to a restaurant and everyone you were sitting with was really miserable and the waiters at the table was really stressed and anxious, and you could tell that people were crying, some people were throwing food over the place, there was lots of arguments, it was a really negative vibe, would you want to go back there again? No. You'd probably do everything you could to avoid going back. So this is how important the mealtime environment is at home for our kids. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not judging anyone for who the mealtime environment has become negative. We've all been there. But I think what's really important is taking a step back and thinking, I'm not going to focus on getting you to eat right now. I'm going to focus on making this an enjoyable place for me, for my kids, for the family. Because if we can focus on the environment, if we can focus on improving the eating environment and where we're all sitting and actually all of us wanting to be there, it will have a massive knock-on effect to how your kids feel about the meal, to how often they want to come back, and to what they want to eat at that meal. So step back. Let's have a look at how we can change this environment. Can we use different tablecloths? Can we put some calming music on? Can we step outside and take 5 deep breaths before we go into that mealtime if we feel stressed? Can we try and make a rule that there's no fighting around the table? Can we let kids get down if they're really stressed and they're crying and they don't want to be there? Can we avoid pressuring them to eat up or commenting on the foods that they're eating? Can we just try and make those mealtimes light? Can we get kids involved by asking them to set the table themselves? Can we get them to make their own play settings next time we do some playtime, and they can use that and have their names on it? What can you do? Because this is going to be different for every family, but what can you do to try and take that calmness down in the environment? Sometimes I play movie theme tunes in the background really lightly. And like I say, sometimes I do step outside and give myself a really good 5 minutes of just breathing and getting myself calm before I head into that mealtime. So if you can change the environment, if you can make yourself want to be there as well as the kids want to be there, everything else will start to fall into place. But it's just about fixing that environment and getting that right in the first instance. So as I said, take the pressure off getting them to eat and focus on getting them to want to be a part of it.
Hi, Charlotte. Thanks for reaching out. I'm looking for some advice, really, with my 2 young children. I've got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. And dinner time is becoming exhausting. They really want beige food. They're struggling with vegetables. And I'd really like some advice or some support as to what to do, because I'm at my wit's end. Thank you so much.
So I think that this is very common as well. I think as parents, we often do get into a bit of a rut with meals where we're thinking, I know how to do this. I know it's accepted. I'm going to cook it. And we end up cooking the same things over and over again. And actually, that can lose the joy out of cooking a little bit. Some people love cooking. Some people hate cooking. But loads of families I've worked with do say that they did enjoy it and they've really lost a lot of that love. The main things I would say is try and, again, take the pressure off. Make sure you know that mealtimes do not have to be perfect. The meals you serve do not have to be perfect. Try and do what I do and maybe have two times a week where you have a refrigerated buffet meal and you just pop everything on the table and let them serve themselves. The other thing is, if you are cooking, try and make a little bit more of it if you can. So I try and dedicate a little bit of time where I am free. I don't have the kids around, no distractions, to cooking. I put some music on, I put a podcast on, and I actually dedicate a bit of time to creating some meals that I'm going to use throughout the week. And again, this has been a really big game changer in my house, because it means that not only am I prepared throughout the week, I feel on top of things. I can balance those meals out. Quite often I can make two or three different meals and a couple of snacks when I do that, when I give myself that 2 hours and that break. And I try and make the most of it. The other thing I do is try and get inspiration online or by looking at recipe books and trying something new. And even if you go to the supermarket with your kid and get them to choose a couple of ingredients and then try and make it meals around that, a bit like Ready, Steady, Cook. So these are all some of the things that you can do when you've got time. It's not always going to be very easy, but I definitely think that trying to take some time out to do the cooking, not put pressure on every meal to be perfect, and try and do some meals where you're cooking them beforehand in advance so that actually you can spend time in the evenings doing other things with your kids rather than just cooking. But you're definitely not alone, and I really hope you can find a bit more love in your cooking next time.
Hi there. I would really like some advice on breastfeeding, if that's possible, Charlotte. I had a baby 2 weeks ago and I'm really struggling. My nipples are sore and cracked. I've tried nipple shields, which are helping, but I don't think I've got my nutrition right. Is there any way you'd be able to support and give me some advice about that? The baby is doing well, but yeah, I think I'm struggling with nutrition. I've been advised by some friends that I need to eat during the night, but I'm not too sure what to do. So any advice would be really, really appreciated. Thanks so much.
So this is something I can really resonate with, because I absolutely struggled both times of feeding my little ones. Even though I have a lot of knowledge, I used to teach parents a lot about breastfeeding. The reality of it is often really different. So again, I know I say this a lot, but if you are feeling that you're struggling with this, you are absolutely not alone. One of the things that I had to do with both my kids was seek support. And it's not easy. And sometimes you feel like you're pushing and you're pushing and you're asking and you're asking, but do try and get support, whether it be from your health visitor, your midwife, your GP, or whoever there is that you can go to for support. Just ask it. And if you don't get the right advice, you don't get the right support, ask for somebody else. I remember when I had my second baby, I had Ada, and I was really struggling with breastfeeding. I didn't get any support from my then health visitor, who actually cancelled on me a few times. It was devastating because I was in quite a bad state at the time. And I remember just calling up the health visitor's office saying, I need someone else. This lady is not helping me. She's not doing what I need. And I ended up getting someone fantastic who really supported me. So it does take a bit of work, but seek support. If you've got anybody around you who can help you to do that, again, get support from them as well. Also tap into online communities. You know, you'll be so amazed when you read online by how you're not the only person who struggles with this. And there's often really helpful advice pages on what people do, what communities you can go to try and get help on there. And I found that amazing as well. I actually found a couple of really great breastfeeding experts who I had online consultations with. It was COVID at the time, so actually I couldn't really go very easily to see health visitors. I was there on a video call showing them my latch, showing them everything, and they really helped me as well. I also think, don't blame yourself. So easy for us as parents to think something I'm doing, something I'm getting wrong, but that isn't always the case. Sometimes it just doesn't work for whatever reason. So don't push yourself. Try as much as you can, but do remember that we are very lucky to have suitable alternatives in the UK to breastfeeding if it isn't working for you. But do try all those avenues first. There is so much support out there. Just sometimes you have to dig a little bit to try and find it. And the most important thing I would say is, honestly, you're not alone. I was there. I know so many parents. And I remember writing about my experience of breastfeeding and just getting an overwhelming amount of support of parents who were like, me too. I felt that. That was me. So you're not alone. Find the support, ask for help, and don't give in till you get it. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you found it helpful and reassuring. Don't forget to subscribe to my podcast to get the next episode straight to your phone. And a huge thank you to my friends at Little Dish for sponsoring this podcast and for letting me use their beautiful offices to record them. We have got a huge guest for you next week. He's a friend of mine and you will all definitely know him too. So please do not forget to tune in. Thank you to my sponsors of this podcast, Little Dish, who make delicious kids' meals and help to make family life and feeding kids less stressful.